With that, I want to turn to really telling you about my spiritual journey and really the reason why I said that I wanted to come today and was willing to come today. I like to tell people about Turkey Hill, and that's great, but I really want to talk to you about my spiritual journey, what's on my heart. My life is probably certainly different from yours, but not that much unlike yours, probably. I'm pretty common, pretty ordinary. I've made a lot of choices in my life. Some good and some bad, and I'm suspecting that you can all relate to that, that you've all made choices, some good, some bad. We make millions of choices, billions of choices. Some of them we make unconsciously. We had to decide what we were going to wear today, what color the socks would be, and you know, pick out the tie. I mean, just decisions. And so there's small decisions, there's big decisions. There's unimportant decisions, there's important decisions, there's temporal decisions, and then there's eternal decisions. And I want to tell you about some of the decisions I made in my life. Those are the decisions that, you know, the sum of them makes me who I am today. And the sum of your decisions makes you who you are. I read this scripture to you here from Colossians. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. That day for me, when I heard the gospel, probably not for the first time, but the time when I really first heard it and understood it, when I was 8 years old. I was a young little boy. I was at a revival meeting at church. And I said to an audience some weeks ago, yes, we had revival, good old-fashioned revival meetings back then. And my father was the song leader, and so I was sitting in the front pew with my dad, because that's where he sat during the sermon, and so I was sitting there with him. And I was where I could really get a good view and a good dose of the message that night. And it communicated to my heart, and I went up to the altar. I prayed, asked the Lord into my heart. And as much as an 8-year-old could do at that time, gave my life to him. But I can tell you, I didn't walk as a choir boy for the rest of my life. I sang in the choir, but I wasn't a choir boy. I made a good decision that day, one I never forgot, one that really changed my life forever, but not one that I left control my life all the way along. Let me read another scripture to you. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. So there's a big problem with sin. Sin is a big problem. And I still had some sin in my life. I still wanted to run my own life, and I became rebellious. I was, you know, what we consider sometimes the typical teens, but thank the Lord I had four atypical. No, I had three atypical teens. I had one that was pretty typical. They don't all have to go through this. I was rebellious. I got into drugs. I got into alcohol. I got into premarital sex. And, you know, the last couple of years of high school for me and the first year of college are pretty much a blur. I was running my own life. I was running away from God, and I was living like there was no tomorrow. But one day, my girlfriend came and said, I'm pregnant. And that was a sobering day. And I have to stand here today and tell you, I was a coward. I was looking for any way out. I wanted her to have an abortion. And she told me, well, you can do what you want to do. I'm having this baby. So that meant I was caught. That meant somebody was going to know. And I remember telling my parents, and they wisely advised me of something I didn't seem to know, which was I needed to get married. Actually, I knew that, but I was a coward. I wasn't ready to take responsibility. And fortunately, I had people who still loved me, even though I had done all these awful things in my life. People who still loved me, and a wife and a girlfriend who was still willing to marry me. And we got married. And I made another good decision in my life. And so we've been married for 28 years. And, you know, that was the second best decision I made in my life. And today, my son, Derek, is 28. And he and his wife have told me that I'm going to be a grandfather. And I just have to tell you, I'm grateful to the Lord and His mercy. And glad that I chose to take responsibility for myself and to choose life for my son. It's been an awesome experience being a dad, and I'm sure it'll be an awesome experience being a grandfather. So I'm looking forward to that. But sin was controlling me. And the thing about sin is that when you have sin in your life, it makes you think God is your enemy. You just walk around thinking God's an ogre, God's a killjoy, He just wants me to, you know, to do this and do that, and I can't have any fun in my life. And that is the lie of sin. Let me read this to you. I'll get on the other page. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. God's enduring principles, God's law, brings true freedom. God isn't there to take away our fun. He's there that we can actually have the pursuit of happiness that our Constitution in this country talks about, the right to pursue happiness and freedom. And it's only when we take God's principles and His laws and apply them in our life that we can truly know real freedom. Just like in the U.S., we have to have a constitution so we don't have either chaos or tyranny. That's what England had. They had a tyrannical king, and the French had a chaotic revolution because they didn't have a constitution. They didn't have the principles that led to true freedom. And God's laws and principles lead us to true personal freedom. And believe me, I know what tyranny is. Drugs were a tyranny. They told me who my friends would be, how long I could stay at a place, where I could go, where I couldn't go. You know, they made me live in fear, paranoia. That was tyranny. And some other areas of my life were chaos. So just depending on which day it was, which one I was experiencing. But when I finally made a commitment to follow the Lord completely, I started to understand true happiness and freedom. So, I believe Jesus was God's Son and that He forgave me. It says, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, that is Jesus, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. Salvation is free to us, but it cost God dearly to bring it to us. Jesus' victory on the cross over sin was for us. It was for you, it was for me. I didn't think I was worth dying for, but God did. He saw something in me, and He was willing to send His Son to die for me. That death was the cruelest fate, the cruelest torture known to man. The Romans were experts at punishing people they didn't like, and this was reserved for their true enemies, not the common criminal. And it was Jesus' real hands and real feet and real flesh and real blood that He shed on the cross. It was work, the hardest kind of work. But He won for us a victory over sin and gave us freedom. We fought a revolutionary war in this country for our freedom. Jesus was fighting a revolution on the cross, and He brought victory over the enemy's forces. So that we can know victory. So I was convinced, and I gave Jesus control of my life. complete control. And every day I try and make sure I'm still in that place. I try and walk close to the cross. Don't always get it right, but the closer I walk to the cross, the better I think my life is. So you have a choice today. Perhaps you need to make a decision that will matter for eternity. Make that decision. It's not just a temporal one, but one that lasts eternity. You know, eternity is a long time. A billion years is just a beginning. Eternity is a long time, and you can live with Him in heaven forever, where a billion years is just a start. So I encourage you today to make this choice in your life if you've never had. I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to put them all up here. Three simple things you need to do today to have Jesus in your life. And these things I did, and I recommend that you do. First, we need to admit we're not good enough. We don't earn our way to heaven. I'm not righteous. I'm not good enough to earn my salvation. Only Jesus Christ could do that for me, and I had to accept it as a gift, which was a very humbling thing, because we're proud people. But I had to lay my pride aside and say, I'm not good enough. I had to believe that Jesus died, that He was who He said He was, that He died for me, and He can save me from my sins. And then I had to choose Him. I had to make that single choice, the best choice I ever made, and you can make, is to ask Jesus into your heart today. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? You know, Turkey Hill is a great place. Great place to work, done a lot of things. But if that's what my life is for, I've chosen what won't last, or what will last. I've given away. If that's what I live for, then I'm throwing my life away. I need to live for something that matters eternally. And Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to keep what he cannot lose. He was talking about giving up this world, which he cannot keep, because death will overtake us all, and gaining heaven, which you cannot lose. Once you've gained heaven and you're in Christ's hands, you can't lose it. That's a business proposition before you today. Do you want to give up what you're going to lose anyway so you can gain what you will never lose? That's my journey. That's where I stand today. Christ is the rock that I stand on. Doesn't mean everything in my life is fine, but it gives me some firm footing for everything that's happening around me. And we're all people. We're all vulnerable at some point or place. And today, I just invite you, if you never had, to make this real in your life today. Do business with Jesus Christ. He's a businessman. He understands this transaction. It's free to you, but it wasn't to Him. He's already paid for it. So I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm going to, as I pray, just invite you to pray along. And if you're here today and the Lord is tugging at your heart, saying, I love you, and I want you to come to me, I ask you just to ask Him into your heart. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're just a great God. You are beyond our comprehension, far above us, and yet, Lord, you loved us, and you sent your Son. You gave Jesus to us, the pure Lamb, the Holy One, who never sinned, who never did anything wrong. He was the kindest man, the gentlest man that ever lived, and yet, He was put on a cross and He died a cruel death. He had skin in the game in a way none of us understand. He gave His life for us. And Lord, today I believe that You want to give Your life again to someone here. Maybe more than one, Lord. Just We ask that you would make yourself real to them, personal to them, that you would speak to their heart and their mind just now, and Lord, that they would yield and give themselves fully to you and invite Jesus into their heart, so that they might know eternal life and they might know hope that sustains no matter what this life brings. We pray and ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus. We want to honor and glorify you and give you all the praise. Amen.